another 7 years of this church. And the first 7 years of this church, we were just laying foundation. In fact, out of that first 7 years, the first three of it, I was struggling. And it was a question of identity. Because I didn't wake up one day and said, I want to become a pastor. So the first 3 years was finding my voice. That was what the first 3 years was about. Then the next next 4 years out of that was laying a foundation for the church. Who are we? You know. So I said jokingly on part of the program, I said, once upon a time, we used to have more Caucasians in this church than Africans, not Afro-American, African, not IB, you remember, isn't it? Yeah, it's 2003, 2004. We won't believe so. We used to have more Caucasians in this church. Yeah, so but there was a dilemma, isn't it? Because I wasn't sure whether I was Caucasian or whether I was African. it was a serious dilemma because I wasn't sure what voice. I was struggling to find my voice. And sometimes when I come up with this vision and the vision and the examples that are challenging, my Caucasian family will call me aside and say, Pastor, that was very tough. That was a very hard message. We don't quite get it, you know. Hey. So the next Sunday I will switch and I'll start talking about the grace of God, the love of God, and the kingdom of God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you black folks don't like don't like the grace of God. And then the Africans will call me and say, Pastor, what is going on? and then they started leaving. I remember the last straw was when one guy left. In my silliness, I went to ask him. I said, why did you leave the church? You seem to have settled down, you know. He said, Pastor, there is no power in this church. You know, so I was struggling between who to serve. And I had to go back and went to go and pray. And one day I made up my mind. I said, you know what? Let me be true to myself. Principles of life, number one, be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Be sincere with yourself. Don't play. God will never visit any man who is not sincere with himself. God will never visit any man who is not single-eyed. You can't be two things. You cannot be everything to everybody. You won't have an identity. And that was my plight in the second half of the first 7 years. And so one day, after prayer, I had this, you know, I just told myself, I said, no, okay, all right, from today, I'm going to be true to myself. I'm going to say the things the Lord has laid in my heart. I'm going to have a clear vision. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do what I know I'm able and capable to do in the body of Christ. And then my voice came. And that was the first 7 years. And the next seven, so the first 7 years was my progress, find my identities, really. It was that part of 7 years that we moved in here. So the second 7 years, which when we moved here, 2010 was very pivotal. Again, just like this one, we're coming to an end of an era. And then from that year, 2011, that year, 2010, that year, we were turned seven as a church. And that closed an era. And so you then notice that the church we had from 2003 to 2010 and the church we've had from 2011 to 2017 are two different churches. And so we now decided that we're going to be raising people on discipleship, on the word of God, on growth, And we've done that, and also to establish our core values, fun, friendship, fellowship, and family. And that's what we've done for 7 years. And in that 7 years as well, but this last 7 years, it was also to have a place of worship. That was very important to me from 2010. I want to really have a place of worship that God will give us our permit, that we'll have an identity, you know, as a church. We've done that. We've done that. It can get better, but to some extent, does it get better than this? Does that make sense? We don't have anything to add to this sanctuary right now. Literally, we have nothing. We don't need to put more speakers in. We don't need to do anything. This is it for us. It's too small for us, but this is it. But so that assignment for me has come to an end after 7 years. And from 2011, 2018, this year, moving forward, right, I want this to be about you. I want this to be about you. This next 7 years is the rising of the eagles. It is the rising of the eagles. In other words, there are going to be men and women who will come out of this sanctuary, who will bring a different dimension of grace and color, not just to this church, but to the ministry. And to effect that, my responsibility is to put my apostolic grace behind every single one of you. In other words, your mission is my mission. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Your mission is my mission. I have cleared my diary. My heart is cleared for you. My diary is cleared for you. In other words, the vision for myself is to accompany you now on your own journey. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the responsibility of that is, do you have a dream yourself? Do you have a vision yourself? Where do you want to go to so I can come along with you? Right? And as committed members of this house, that is what I want you to think. In life, we leverage grace. We leverage grace. And what I'm making available for you and to you is to leverage my own grace. Does that make sense? Yeah? So that I want us to, as a church, to celebrate you. I want you to be the achiever that is celebrated. I want your trophy of your testimony to be the one that is lifted. I want your star to shine, and I want your sun to rise. Next 7 years, we want to raise sons and daughters that when people hear you speak and they see you do great works, they can trace that to your spiritual roots. That is where we are going to. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I want you to take yourself very seriously because you have help now. Pastor Eddie, what is your vision? Well, my vision is a cumulative vision of the individual members of this church moving forward. I don't need to buy another house. I don't need another job. I don't need, in fact, my daughter graduates from uni this year. Yeah, my house is an empty nest. I don't need another car. But I promise to buy you a sport. You need a sports car, honey. You need a nice sports car, two-door, just you and I and the golf bag, just for you. All for you. All for you. Because you are worth it.
The person that clapped didn't hear what he said.
No, I said, I'm going to buy you that sports car. You need that sports car, I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm telling you. So that's it. We want to celebrate you. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to have a dream. I want to challenge you. I want to be part of your goal. I want to be part of your goal. And I'm good. I'm very good. I'm not boasting. If you can boast, you don't even know. I am very, very good. I am very, very good because I know my God. I know my God. When I say I'm good, it's because I know my God. I know my spiritual backing. And this backing is good. You've seen it. Yeah? You've seen it. Not only in my life, you've seen it in your life. You've seen it in the testimonies over the years. You've seen it in this church. Yeah? Who else can come out of nowhere without prior experience right, coming to a place like Kent and put in 14 years, 700 member church, right? I mean head count, not capacity, 700 head count, right? Members, own building, no fight with church, no fight with council regarding the car park, no fight with council. Well, that's God. Who else can? Who can? That's God. As teenagers go to uni and come back, just look at the history. So I've looked at the history and I'm saying God is with me. And I want to take that experience of working with God in that level, I want to plug it into your heart's desire. You understand? If you don't understand, ask questions, because this is a Q&A question. Yeah? So what does that mean? If you are struggling in any area, I don't want you to sit down and struggle in silence. I want you to call me, call us and say, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm struggling here. What can we do? Then I will assume your position and I will do and show you what I will do if I was in your shoes. But it will go better than that. Then we will do it together. Yeah? As intense mentoring. Even if it's a problem, we will work through together. Our God is more than able. Amen. So, and because you are the trophy, Isaiah chapter 2, right, is what we are operating. What does that mean? That when God establishes you, you become an influence. People through you will be added to the house. They will come because God has blessed you and they can see the hand of God in your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but we need to settle certain things, right? And one of the things I want us to settle, one, is your appetite for the Word of God. Your appetite for the Word of God. I want you to be a Christian, a proper Christian. A kid came to see me this evening. He's flew in from Holland. And I saw him. And when he came through the door, I recognized him. Because about 20, how many years ago? 25 years ago. Okay, about 27 years ago, I met his parents. And his parents were very nice to me. And he showed up at my doorstep this morning. Immediately I saw him, I could see the face of his father. So I ushered him into my home. And I said, sit down. And I hugged him, I stood, I looked at him, and I said, your parents are nice people. I said, above all, your parents were very good to me. And I blessed him. And I blessed him, prayed for him, hugged him, then I sold it to him, and I gave him gift. I mean, at some point on his way, even when he dropped down on the car, I still gave him some gift. He said, why are you doing this?
I said,
he said, I'm okay, I have money. I said, but you don't understand. I said, you don't understand. I said, I'm doing this because of the son of whom you are. You know? So, and I blessed him. I said, next time you are coming to this nation, I said, please don't buy your ticket. I said, call me. Give me 4 weeks' notice. I will organize your flight. You will come here and stay the weekend, and then we'll pay your flight back. Is that okay? Amen? What was I saying, Daniel?
You're saying that we should take our Christianity seriously. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Why are you laughing? We all have one thing in common. I'm just ahead. Age is coming too. So I said, take your Christianity serious. I did that because his parents were very good Christians. I told him, I said, your parents are very good Christians. I said, your mom, there's no gray. She's black or white. She doesn't do gray areas. I said, your mother does not do politics. I said, a great woman. I said, I'm so happy that you are here. And I can tell you by your parents. You're not here telling me that your mother has gone to be with the Lord, your daughter, your father has gone to be with the Lord. I said, no, you are here in my living room. I said, please, I beg you, help me look after them. Help me look after them. I said, help me look after them. I said, they are genuine Christians. Yeah. One of those rare breeds. I said, they are genuine Christians. I said, you have a place. I said, get up, and I hugged you, and I hugged him. I said, you are my son. I said, because your parents are great Christians. So I want you to take your salvation very seriously. I want you to take your salvation very seriously. There are many churchgoers, but there are very few Christians. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be a believer. I don't want you to behave like the world. I want you to behave like a Christian. Do you understand? Here was when the marriage counseling make my marriage the other day, I was telling the couples, I said, you can be a Christian and not have a Christian marriage. You understand? You can be a Christian and not have a Christian marriage. You can be a Christian and not have a cultural marriage. How many Christians do you know? They say, oh, I'm a Christian, yeah, but when they have issues, they say, in my house and where we come from, my father, and that's a cultural marriage, isn't it? We don't have a cultural marriage, we have a Christian marriage. We have a Christian marriage. The advantage of having a Christian marriage is that you can teach your marriage principles to your children. If you have what culture will I teach my children at Benin or Yoruba culture? What culture? So we have a Christian marriage. So Christianity is a lifestyle. And God is at the center of our faith. So I want you to believe the word of God. There are so many people who read the word of God, but they don't believe the word of God. The evidence of belief is in action. I want to believe the word of God and organize yourself to behave accordingly. The evidence of belief is in action. It doesn't matter. Evidence of belief is not confession. There are so many people who confess Christ, but they are not Christians. There are so many people who confess Christ, but their behavior does not reflect Christianity. At least yet. There are so many who are in church, but when it comes to the way they live their lives, in their choices, in their preferences, in their decisions, it is not Christ-like. If it is not Christ-like, it is not Christianity. And God will only visit his people. God will only visit his people. God will only visit his people. One of the challenges you find with the Israelites when they were living in Egypt, like we, the church, they symbolize the church moving from darkness to light, from Egypt to Canaan, from bondage to freedom. The one problem God had with them was compromise. Right? That was one problem. Do not behave like your environment. Do not behave like your environment. There is a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is an expensive lifestyle. It is a costly lifestyle. Let me give you an example. One, forgiveness. You know how it is when somebody offends you? So how are you going to respond to that? Your faith says, let it go. And that is painful. He said, let it go. Don't dwell on it. Don't let it go. So if you bring your offering to the altar and you remember that somebody has offended you, he said, leave that sacrifice because I won't touch it. Let that person go. That's painful. How do you plan to respond to that? Now, you can't claim to be a Christian. It doesn't matter what you confess. The day you hold someone in unforgiveness, it doesn't matter what you confess. It doesn't matter what you give to the church. It's not about that. It's about the life. It's about the life. It's about the lifestyle. And we demonstrate our faith by our action. Are you listening? So we demonstrate our faith by our action. Our action is what determines whether God accepts us as his people and call us Christ-like and then visit us, or we're just wasting our time. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have something to say, Dan? Okay. Do you understand? So what this year, I want to make up your mind. The path of salvation, the Bible describes it as a very narrow road. As a very narrow road. It's not for everybody. It's a very tough road. He said, how did the Bible scripture put it again? He said, broad is the
way that leads to destruction.
Okay, can you, if you have that verse, bring it up for me, Google it. All right. He said, broad is the way that leads to what? But narrow is the what? That leads to eternal life. Narrow. Broad is the way. General, popular decision-making process, right, can lead to destruction. He said, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. It's a way of sacrifice. It's a way of letting your flesh die. Mm. It's a way of getting rid of carnal things. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you will be second class. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. There are many who go in by it. You and your children don't go in by it. Don't go in by it. I said, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. Have you look at that? In other words, I am going to call upon you to make some very costly decisions. Yeah. Like forgive your neighbor. Mm. Like forgive your neighbor. So, one thing I want to establish today, this year, I want you to be word crazy. Mm. I want to be word crazy. You cannot live by what you don't know. You cannot live by what the... So get off the wide and broad gate. Get onto the narrow path. Get onto the narrow path, right? And take your salvation serious. It doesn't... Now, when I say... When we talk about this narrow path, then it doesn't mean that, if I used to smile, right? And I used to be excited, I should just stay like that and say, hello. Good morning. I don't want to smile too much lest I lose my salvation. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You know. Oh, I don't want to hang around. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying in your core, before you speak, what is your dominant influence? Let that dominant influence. For some people, their dominant influence is their life before they got born again. For some others, their dominant influence is social media. Some others, their dominant influence is their background, daddy and mommy. But what I'm saying, let your dominant influence be what you have read in scriptures. A Christian counsel, what the Bible says. That's all I'm saying. That's the narrow path. Mm. Yeah? Okay.
I was going to say, Pastor was saying that for us to experience the visitation of God, to take our salvation serious. There's a lady in the Bible that experienced the visitation of God. Her name is Anna in the New Testament. Anna had waited years and years, and a year came that Jesus was brought into the temple. Why did she find him? Why did she see him? Why did she experience him? A service. She was year in, year out, Sunday in, Sunday out, weekday in, weekday out, in the temple, praying. And when the Savior was brought to the temple, I was going to read you the scripture, but alas, my glasses will not let me see it. But let me just explain it to you. When Jesus was brought into the temple, she was there. She was there, and the Bible said she was blessed for seeing this day. Why did she see the day? She was in that place at that time to experience something that nobody else have experienced before. God will visit. This year he will visit because he has said he's coming. But whether you will be there when he visits or not is dependent on you. That's what God told me. Whether you will be there when he visits or not is dependent on you. Pastor a while ago was talking about a gentleman that the Holy Spirit showed him very few years ago that this gentleman, he lays eggs, and you know the way...
Ostrich,
where they lay egg. Instead of, as you're brooding on it, it's time for it to hatch, it gets up and walk forward and walk very hard somewhere else and lay another egg. And when it's almost time to hatch, gets up again. Something keeps moving him so he doesn't get his harvest. The worst thing that could ever happen to a believer is to sow seed, particularly the seed of service, the seed of time, the seed of consecration. Because God said he will visit. When he says he will visit, he said to Joshua, tell the people, he said, tell them to consecrate themselves because I am coming to visit. So if you're going to experience God, like you're taking your salvation serious, take your personal life. It's personal. It's not group salvation. This group friendship thing is not going to work. we all do this together. Oh, because my mates are going here, I go here. Don't do that this year. Don't just take it. Take your walk a step higher this year. But while you're doing that, take your service deeper. I was telling someone today, I said service speaks. The couple that Pastor Eddie was talking about, this couple, he wouldn't remember. So the wife was my friend, as usual. My friends end up becoming his friends. And then he can't remember that they were my friends originally. So
because they moved higher, isn't it? They moved
higher. I don't know how to do friendship. But anyway, no. So the wife...
They thought they had a friend until they met me.
I never had original friends. They're all my friends. But anyway, so that's the difference.
I have friends in heaven. I have friends now. You know my friends. Okay, I know my friends. Bola, let's go.
Oh, he's so funny. Oh, he's disgraceful. There are many times we all sit down here and he tells all of us that he's not our friends, right? That he's our pastor.
Why do you remember? What I just finished talking to you about forgiveness. This is 2018.
But we love you though, don't we? We do, we do. So the wife was my friend in what we called OND when we first did our first 2 years studying accounting, and then we moved to Lagos. While we were in Lagos, we were in the professional schools together, myself, Pastor Eddie, and the husband. And we got to know them. I think they actually met through me. Anyway, they married. When they married, they were newly married and they made their home open to us. They were like our own relationship mentors. Whenever we are looking for a place to meet up and hang out together and not seen, we go to their home. So they have a 3-bedroom house, so we can spend the night there. I'm in one room, P is in one room, they're in another room, we all converge in the lounge. There was no... They served God, but they served God's people, which we were. I mean, we had nothing to give back to them. They could never have thought about today. We had nothing to give back to them. Everybody started doing well in their own rights. Everybody qualified and, you know, moved on. But all that time, the wife was, she would spend so much time cooking. She didn't do the professional exams. I think I had already done it. And then Pastor and Brother Andrew, we call him, but he's Pastor Andrew now, they used to study together. Now we've moved on from there. And something happened. Their son was giving a testimony of his job. He works in Holland because he's just a natural, normal graduate. Is a programmer, was working in a normal job, and he got on LinkedIn. How on earth does that even happen? On LinkedIn, he got sent a message in Nigeria that they're looking for a programmer or a programmer in Holland. He said when he first got contacted, he thought, oh, that's a joke. I'm not interested. They sent him another one. And another one. And then he responded. Within the space of, according to him, 2 weeks, this company, it's one of the multinationals, you know it if you mention their name, this company not only just got him, they got a Dutch residence permit for 5 years for him. Now tell me, how could his parents have done that? But their service, we said to them straight away, we said, it's not you that you are reaping what your parents have done. When he was coming to England, he had never been to Europe before in his life. He just studied like any other normal person. And he got a job like any other normal person. He doesn't have any uncle in any high place. He doesn't have any auntie anywhere. Parents live in Port Harcourt. He lives in Lagos. So he had nobody. There was nobody but God that spoke for him. Many are trying to, let me get a job elsewhere. He didn't even try. He was poached. And they sorted everything out, including relocation allowance. Got him a place to stay when he first moved to Holland. And then for the first month, they paid for everything and then they settled him down. Who does that? And they were kind of trying to recruit and recruiting from Nigeria. They're not recruiting from England. I know people that are programmers that are looking for those type of jobs. And it wasn't even fake, and it was real. And he got here. And here he is, his first Christmas, and he decided to come here on holiday, and then decided to come visit with us. But what I'm saying is, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised the parents' service is speaking in the life of the child. Please take your service really serious, because when God will visit, he doesn't visit just you. It visits your children and your children's children. When Anna saw Jesus in the temple that day, he said, wow, you are here. She was there. She's been coming. She's been waiting. I asked the Lord when I read that scripture, I said, supposing she didn't go in that day. I've waited years. I'm now 80-something years old. She was a widow. She chose not to remarry. Just kept going to the temple to go and pray every day, waiting for this Messiah that's been promised. Don't forget, for 400 years before, the Messiah had been promised. People had come and gone. Some people will have started praying with that. We're going to pray every Tuesday. We're going to pray every Strike Force Day until the Messiah comes. Every Strike Force Day this year. Every Tuesday we'll pray this year. Every online prayer meeting. Every Friday I'll be here this year. By the first end of the first quarter, what I've asked God for the first quarter has not happened anyway. Do you know what? As and when, I have to work a little bit late today. Oh, Junior needs to go to bed. Oh, I'm a little bit tired. And then we start giving excuses. And then the day of visitation came. And then they were not there. I don't believe Anna started that prayer alone, but Anna got the blessing alone. Take your service really serious. Don't be missing. I know one thing for sure, God counts. God counts who is in his temple and God rewards. So when God is rewarding that boy today, everything, you know, as Pastor was, you know, blessing him and, you know, as we spent time together, I remember he called his parents and his dad said, who did you made what meal? You know, I didn't used to make meals when we were younger. So he said, oh, yeah, the Auntie Bola made the meal. So his dad passed the phone to me and said, did you really make a meal? I said, what is that even supposed to be? But all the effort.
She has confessed now.
So all the effort.
When you see me losing weight, I'm not fast. I'm not fasting, though.
All the effort. Let's move on quickly. All the time. Everything was a function of a reward that was going to what the parents did. They could not have imagined that their sowing would bring them that reward. They couldn't. When they were sowing, they had nothing to gain from us. Mm. They had nothing to gain. They didn't know where the reward was going to come from. We never knew, his name is Samuel, we never knew Samuel was going to come to Europe. We never knew a day would come that would be hosting Samuel. We never knew that. It was never planned. So serve God. Throw yourself completely into God's service and let God sort you out. Because amongst many things, there are things you can say to God, that God, you know I serve. Sort me out in this area because I do this. There are many things you will never, never be able to do yourself. But when you serve, it will always speak. Service speaks.
Don't serve God out of bribe. Don't serve God. God answers prayers. Do not serve God out of bribery. Oh. We love God, and that is a fact. But we don't just love God because we have not seen God before. Oh. We love God's people. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our love is extended to anyone who comes in the name of the Lord. It says, do good to every man. Mm. It said, especially those
of the house of faith.
Of the house of faith. So that's a direct instruction. So we do good to those in the house of faith.
A lady came to see us today. She was going through a challenge. We got to know her years ago. 16 years ago we got to know her. A challenge started a few years back. She said she got herself to a point where she thought, she goes to a different church. Let me go to the house of the people that are my people, that I know they love me no matter what. And she came today. And I mean, hours and hours she spoke. And when she finished speaking, she just won't go. She just sat down. We were hosting this other gentleman. She just sat down. And after sitting down for so long, I remember saying to P when she was going, our kids were calling her, she won't go. She just, at the door, she said to me, it just feels so good. Like I have no liability or responsibility anymore. I said, well, the same feeling that you have here, carry it along with you. So basically what she's saying is, I just sense the peace of God. And it's so interesting that it's just love extended to her. So when she got into a challenging time, where did she go to? Where love was extended to her. Serve God and serve God's people, holding nothing back. Just be genuine with them. Love them and love them. Love them deeply. Love them. You know, Pastor said something one day. I remember that analogy. I can never forget. He said, it was Boso was sitting there. And he mentioned Boso's daughter's name. And he said, Boso, how many people have given Faith something? If someone remembers Faith, Not Boston. You will remember Minister Boston. Worst case scenario, remember the sax he played for us. Even if you don't remember, or the jokes he cracks. Just laugh now. Do you not like him? Huh? You're not in a liking zone today. Do you like me?
Yes.
Do you like him?
Yes.
Make it louder.
Yes.
Opie said something that day. He said, Boson, if somebody chooses and remembers to buy something for Faith, would you ever forget them? Never. You can buy things for Boson and he can forget. But somebody remembers Faith's birthday enough, or Christmas Day, they didn't just buy something for Boson, they bought something for Faith. You can never forget them. When somebody treats Faith well, you can never forget. Faith is Boson's daughter's name. The same thing goes for God's children. When you treat God's children like they are special, God can never forget you. So there are things you wouldn't need to pray for yourself. Like P.E. said, not to bribe God. God, you see, I'm doing this for your children. You better do it for my children. No. Because he's not an irresponsible God. He knows. But you do it, not expecting any reward from them. Will they misbehave? Yes. Will they act like ingrates? Yes, because they are normal children. Children do that. Will they forget that you did things for them? Yes. Will they be nasty to you one day? Probably. So prepare. But still love them anyway. Why? Because of their dad. Why did we love that boy today? We've never met him. Well, we knew him when he was born. We knew him when he was 1 year old. But we don't know his behavior. We don't know his person. We just know he's a believer. And that's all we know. We know his parents. But because of his parents, he enjoyed all that favor. Because of his parents, we served him. So serve God's children, and God will serve and reward you back. That's a very big key for this year for you.
Hmm. Praise the Lord. The first thing I want to remind you of is prayer. You have to be very prayerful. You have to be extremely prayerful. Do not allow the enemy distract you from the place of prayer. You know, you've heard a saying before, a prayerless Christian is a powerless one. It is true. It is true. And prayer and purity goes together. So I want you to live a life of purity. I want you to live a consecrated life. I want you to live like you are a monk. Yeah? A trendy monk. Yeah? A cool monk. In other words, be conscious of who you are. Consecration means be conscious of who you are and whose
you are.
That's what consecration is. It means that I don't have the permission to behave the way everyone behaves, and I don't have the permission to behave my natural mind would want me to behave. So that is what makes you consecrated. It's what makes you dedicated. It's what makes you live a life of purity. And purity and prayers go together. Many, it doesn't matter how good your best meal is. It doesn't matter how much you like your best meal. If I serve your best meal on a trash can, unless you are really horribly starving and you've not eaten for 30 days and you are about to die, it's a matter of life, you won't eat it. On a good day, you won't touch it. Yeah, but it's your favorite meal. Your favorite meal on a trash can, you won't touch it. And so many of us, our lack of purity, consecration, and dedication does not allow God to touch our sacrifice. Our lack of purity, consecration, and dedication does not allow God to touch his best meal. His best meal is your sacrifice. His best meal. So I want you to live a life of dedication. You and your family and your children, you are called to God now. And that is a fact. Now, we may not say dress in a particular way, tie your scarf and cover your hair here up to here, wear long robes, and we may not say that. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that you're not a holy person. Yeah. You are a holy person. The Bible says that you are a royal priesthood. It says you are a holy nation. So you've got to live a life of consecration and dedication. You've got to live the life of the priesthood. The lifestyle of the priesthood is a vehicle for God's invitation. Just the same way you won't eat your best meal and say, well, yeah, I know you like ice cream. You say, yeah, but yes, here is ice cream on a cover of a trash can. Even if it is 40 degrees and it's very hot, you will look at that food, you will look at the person who offered it, and you will shake your head, and you will say, it's not this bad for me. And for many of us, that's what God says at times. Yeah, I like your sacrifice. I like your service. I like your offering. I like your tithing. But it's not this bad. Because the vessel upon which that sacrifice is served, right, is not clean enough for him. There are so many things that goes into God's blessing. There are so many things that goes into it. And those are the things the very important ones are the things we are shared. Time will not permit us, but we have the whole year. Yeah? So make sure you live a clean life. So then, Pastor, what does it mean to live a clean life? Well, there are standard things that we let's Bible talks about three things for starters: the lust of the eyes, what again?
Lust of the flesh,
and the pride of life. And the lust of the eyes, yeah, lust of the eyes, filthy things, pornography, bad talk, swearing. You'll be amazed how many believers swear and curse when they are not here. You know, so those categories, the lust of the eyes, not for you, then. I was thanking him for you. Yeah. Yeah. The lust of the eyes.
Are you really?
I was thanking for you, Nancy. What is it? Why are you laughing? So, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. You don't need those things. You don't need those things. You don't need pornography. You don't need them. You don't need bad talk. You don't need to curse. You don't need to swear. You don't need to be like the average mop head who is cursing and swearing and think it is trendy. You just don't need that. You don't have to. You don't have to. You know, people who are good at what they do don't need to be like any other person. You understand? I was reading a biography about Bill Gates. He said his kids don't have mobile phone until they turn 21 or 18. Yeah? Whereas the poor man, if you ask him, he said, your father, you are 16 years old, your father won't allow you to have a mobile phone? Wow! Man, that's so oppressive. Really? Report him to RSPCC.
NSPCC. RSPCC is animal.
Report him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't need... And let's talk about it. You know, lust of the eyes, even things like material things. Yeah, material things. All things are yours. You don't have to be greedy. It's your right to live in the best houses. It's your right for your kids to go to the best schools. It's your right to get the best things in life, but they must never get into your heart. That should not override purpose. Neither should it override kingdom. And that's what makes it lustful. They were wealthy people in the Bible. In fact, what am I saying? Abraham was rich. Isaac was rich. Jacob was rich. They were wealthy people. They were not poor. The Bible says Abraham had 318 trained servants in his house. He was a small guy. And David was well accomplished. So you see, lust is a spiritual problem. Lust is a spiritual problem. So avoid lust. Lust contaminates your sacrifices. Lust contaminates your offering. It contaminates your... The same way you won't touch that food, God will say, yeah, thank you, thanks, but no thanks. And you don't want God saying thanks, but no thanks to your prayer. You say, Lord, I thank you. You say, yeah, but you just told me thank you. But you just equally are saying thank you this morning. But you go to the office, you swore at your friend. Mom, the same breath. That is a contaminated breath. The same eyes you use in watching pornography, you turn the Bible and you use the same eyes, right? So the vessel is contaminated. Make sure it's not contaminated. And one of the things I love about England is that we have the right to be ourselves, thanks to political correctness. You know? I mean, many years ago, if you go with your mates to the pub and you ask them, oh, do you drink? What are you having? They say, oh, whoa, I have an orange. It say, oh, really? You don't drink? Oh, yeah. Nobody says that anymore. They say, oh, yeah. They say, oh, no, it's not. No, I don't drink. Oh, really? Okay. Because anything other than that is harassment. Isn't it? Because she can get to the office and say, Oh, I'm so stressed. Yeah. Oh, I told him I don't drink, and he kept insisting. So when you say I don't, everybody just backs out. Yep. Don't go there. Not for him. Not for her. Not for exactly. So that is a huge opportunity that we have as Christians. So you have no excuse to be crooked. There's no pressure. So please, right? Be a holy person. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, as I'm holy." And so the fact that we have the best things in life, right? We have the best people around us, does not mean that we should not be holy. Don't do filth. Pride of life. Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. The Bible says that the least shall be the greatest. The least in the kingdom. So in other words, humility rules. Meekness rules. And God rated Moses as the highest prophet. Why? He said, what?
Because of all of his house.
Because of what?
He was the meekest.
The meekest. And when Jesus came, he followed that same order. He said, they took him to the. He said, he opens not his mouth. He was the meekest. So, get rid of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Get rid of them. Focus on eternal purpose. You will have a good time. You will be happy. You will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. And what else would you want? You will pray and God will answer.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Pastor.
Meekness. Yeah? I want to add something else. About sacrifice. Learn to sacrifice. I want you to get rid of your comfort zone. Learn to pray more. Read more. Right? I want you to be spiritually lean. We are starting our 21 days fast from Monday. Use that as a benchmark. Be lean spiritually. Read more. Talk less. Listen more, pray more, read your Bible more, a lean life. Get rid of anything that does not have eternal purpose in your life. Get rid of any conversation and get rid of any company that does not add value and does not position you on the path of righteousness. It doesn't mean that we won't be friends. I mean, come on. It doesn't mean that we won't associate. We will associate, but to what end? So measure your time and then pay the sacrifice. Pay the sacrifice in every area of your life. And Pastor Bola mentioned in your service, in your word life, in your prayer life, in your giving life, pay the sacrifice. God honors sacrifice. God honors sacrifice. David said, I will not give the Lord something that will not cost me anything. So let your prayer time cost you. Yeah. Let the Bible time cost you. He said, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to read my Bible. No, that is the lie from the pit of hell. You have time. What you are saying is, I don't want to make the sacrifice to read my Bible. I don't want to make the sacrifice to read my Bible. I don't want to make the sacrifice to pray. I don't want to make the sacrifice to fast. I don't want to make the sacrifice to connect with other Christians. You know that takes sacrifice. Yeah. I remember many years ago when the church just started, I told them my core team then. I said, for some of God's children, there's what they call EGR. It means extra grace required. I said, because they come through the door, many of them need extra grace for you to connect with them. I said, but we are going to pay the sacrifice to reach across the floor and connect with the people that God has sent to us. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want one more thing to say. You know, when God says He's going to visit, there's a word that comes to mind, and that is one word. You always notice when you read your Bible as you're looking forward for God's visitation this year, and that's the word remember. God remembers. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 20, it said, may He remember your sacrifices. May He remember your offerings. God remembers. So question to ask yourself, what will God remember of what I will do this year? If I do this, will God remember? Will God remember it for good? Because don't forget, it's a two-edged sword. When God visits, surprise visitation, if things are not right, He visits... You know, we always think blessing is what I come to gather when He visits.
This will shock as well.
Yeah. Don't forget. So He visits and it creates surprise. He visits, it creates shock. So don't mess around. God remembers. But what will God remember you for this year? What will God remember and come and visit you to bless you with? You know, the Bible says about the children of Israel, they prayed for so long. And the Bible says, and God remembered their suffering. The Bible says God remembers our offerings. The Bible says God remembers our sacrifices. The Bible says God remembered their service. There are different things. So when you read the word remember in the Bible, ask the Lord, what am I doing and what will God remember about me? God remembers families. And God remembered this family. And God remembered this person. Not because God forgot, but their time has come. God doesn't forget. Because if you read and say, but does that mean that God forgot? No. Their time had not yet come. But the day God remembers you, that's the day that He visits you. And this is that year of our surprise visitation that we're going to experience pleasant things from God. So may God remember you for good. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So we're going to do two things before we close. We're going to sit down. Okay, hold your neighbor by the hand. Hold your neighbor. So, and we're going to just pray as a church, as a family, we're going to pray. And we are going to, first of all, thank God for the grace to start the journey of this year. Just raise your voice and pray and just thank Him. I say, Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You for the grace to start this journey. We thank You. We thank You. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him. Here we are ready. We are ready. We are ready. Father, we thank You. Father, we thank You. As a family, we thank You. We bless Your holy name. Father, we thank You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want us to pray for one another. Pray for the hand you are holding. We want to ask God for His visitation. We want to present one another before the Lord. And say, Father, I hold my brother's hands and my sister's hands tonight. And I ask for Your visitation on behalf of my brother and my sister in the name of Jesus. Come on, raise your voice and pray. 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 And so, Father, we thank You. We thank You. Father, we join our hands together. We join our faith together. We stand by each other. We present one another before You, Father. We ask, O God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for Your visitation. In the name of Jesus, we ask for Your visitation. 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 In the name of Jesus, we ask for Your visitation. Father, we thank You. Visit us in every area of our lives. Visit us in every area of our lives. Visit us in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
I want you to pray again for this hand and say, Father, I'm holding this hand right now. I am going to hold this hand by the end of this year.
Amen.
And I ask that you preserve these hands. Preserve these hands, Father. Preserve these hands. I want you to cover that person with the blood of Jesus. I say, Father, I cover my brother and my sister with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against them will prosper. No weapon formed against them will prosper. Any tongue that rises against them, Father, we condemn in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray, O God, for one another. We pray, O God, for one another. We pray, O God, for one another. You said, with long life will I satisfy him. Satisfy my brother. Satisfy my sister. Satisfy my brother and my sister. With long life will you satisfy us. As a body, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Stay praying for that brother and that sister. We are going to come against the power of darkness over their lives. We are going to come against the power of principalities. I want us to pull them down concerning that hand we are holding. And say, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, we pull down the power of darkness over this life in the name of Jesus. Come on, raise your voice and pray for your brother. Raise your voice and pray for your sister. Brake bozo dore bayande. Manto credunda rabayande. Zekreto rabasanta rabaye. Mandore brandere bazantere bayande. Father, we just thank you, Father. We pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we pull down, we cancel the counsel of the enemy concerning everyone here. In the name of Jesus, we cancel the counsel of the enemy. We say no to the works of the evil one concerning these lives. In the name of Jesus, and so, Father, we decree that no weapon formed against them will prosper. We come against, oh God, every fiery dart of the enemy. We say we return them to their origin. We say we return them to their origin. We say we return them to their origin. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
One more time we are going to pray. The Bible says promotion and lifting comes from God. He said, I am the one that brings one up, and I'm the one that brings one down. I want you to pray for that brother and that sister. And say, Lord, lift these hands up. Lift these hands up. Lift these hands up. Lift these hands up. Promote them, Father, for the sake of your name, Father, we pray. Promote them for the sake of your name. Promote them for the sake of your name. Promote them for the sake of your name. Promote them for the sake of the kingdom. Promote them for the sake of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Promote them for the sake of the kingdom. Promote them for the sake of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say,
Amen.
And the family say,
Amen.
And the family say,
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And you are going to stretch your hands towards us as your pastors. And you are going to pray for us. Our hands have started this year. Our hands will complete it. That the Lord has laid in our heart for you. That the Lord will give us the grace to execute them. The grace for accomplishment. The grace for new vision. Come on, raise your voice and pray for us. 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 Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Well, bless your holy name. We thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the prayers of the saints towards us. We receive them in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you will answer their prayers for us in the name of Jesus. We ask that you answer their prayers concerning us in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put those hands together for the Lord today. Amen.